Live, this is WLND Signal Mountain, Chattanooga.
Health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and so much more. Welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, a production of Whitfield Media Group, with your hosts, Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World, and Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified medical doctor.
Good morning and welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial, 98.1 The Lake. Thank you for taking your time to join us. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I am Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World here in Chattanooga. And joining me is Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified medical doctor at CHI Memorial. And good morning, Dr. Green.
Good morning, Ed. Happy Sunday to you and to all of our intrepid listeners. Thank you so much for being here, everybody, and we're glad to be here again. And like Ed said, I am Chris Green with CHI Memorial, and I work in Georgia at 4700 Battlefield Parkway. Been there for quite a while, been in town since 1996, loving life. So Ed and I are not walking in fear during the, I hate to say coronavirus again, I get so tired of hearing that word day by day in the office, but during the coronavirus time and pandemic, but you know what? CHI has you covered. We have all of the processes in place. If you think you may have been exposed, we have good advice, good counsel, good care. Just give your provider a call. And if you're not established, come on down and establish. We'd love to have you there. But don't worry about it. Got you covered at CHI Memorial. Hopefully, we'll still build that hospital we were talking about up until coronavirus pandemic, but it might be a little delayed. And for CHI, full disclosure, I haven't spoken with anybody there about that, but I'm just assuming there might be a significant delay. We'll see. It all depends what happens in the next 12 to 18 months, I would imagine. It's great to be working with Benchmark Physical Therapy as well as LHC Group, and that's Louisiana Healthcare for both home health and hospice. Home Care Solutions, Home Health, Ringgold, and Dalton doing a great job during the pandemic, as well as Heartlight Hospice of Dalton. Wonderful people. So, you know, healthcare is going on, didn't really slow down. You see a lot of the culture of fear, as I think Ed and I call it sometimes, being propagated on many of the national news networks. Well, we're not going to propagate a culture of fear here at Vital Health Radio, and we don't do that in the medical field around here either. All of the CHI offices have kept running smoothly, no problems. We have inpatient care in the hospital, plus outpatient in the office, including telemedicine now. So we have you covered. Don't worry about it. And all those terrified doctors you see on TV, we don't have those here. So we cultivate mature providers who continue giving your care without screaming about it in fear. So be glad. Come on in and see your doctor if you need any help. So I know Ed cultivates that spirit of hope and lack of fear at Nutrition World, and I want to hear what's happened in his week.
Thank you, my friend, and I love the fact that you said mature providers. That is a great term, because we are, even locally, nationally, when you look at the numbers, a lot of, like my dad used to say, figures can lie and liars can figure. That was an old term.
I like that.
It certainly is so true today, because even looking at the local numbers, yes, like we're skyrocketing on test positives that come back. But then when you look at mainly, there's one zip code that's causing it, because the people are living in very tight quarters. And again, 92% are having a bad week with a bad cold, and they recover quite well. And again, you've got providers who are, you know, hope they are skilled and they're able to help you in this case. But the thing is, you know, again, I repeat this, the CDC says the average person's had 3 viral infections per year in their life. I'm 63. That means I've had 189 viral infections if I'm average, and I've survived every one, or I would not be talking on the radio. And guess what made me survive? My immune system. So we know things that can help boost that. The vitamin D, the eating healthy, the sleeping, stress management, exercising, all those things.
You know, just thinking the exercise, so many things pop through my head as you're talking about all of that, and I'm in full agreement on all. And you're right, there are many, we'll say, people groups they've been going to, and that's actually caused some concern to some patients. I've had a few visits in the last week just from the concerns of my patients who saw what was going on with a bunch of let's say, police and other government personnel going to test certain people groups. They were wondering what's going on in that place, so we have to talk about that. And the tests that are out there in the community are not that accurate, not at this time, but there are some good ones, and CHI has them. But I was just thinking about, we were talking about bike riding, so I've been doing a lot more of that lately, having a great time. But I'm still amazed at the number of young people I see jogging through the middle of nowhere with a mask on or riding their bicycle alone. These are people that are alone in the middle of nowhere, parks, recreational areas. They're alone. They are secluded with a mask on in the middle of God's creation. I don't understand it except for the culture of fear. And I want them to take off the mask, enjoy their exercise, breathe the fresh air God has given them, and enjoy the sunlight. And keep exercising. They're doing the right thing, but I have not quite understood that mindset yet, but I'm trying.
Absolutely. This morning at Gold's Gym, I walk in at because I slept poorly last night, and I walked in very early, say 5:45. There was a lady on the treadmill. Nowhere it was anyone in sight. I'm talking not even with maybe 60 feet, maybe the closest person. She's doing the treadmill with a freaking mask on. What in the hell is going on? And you know, I heard this guy that I really respect. I think his name is Doug Borgman, and he's really kind of into the meditation world, I guess I would use that term. And he said something that was kind of revealing to me this morning when I was listening. He said this epidemic that's going on is creating fear, but really and truly, it's revealing fear. That's what it's doing, because people who already have a festering fear, this is igniting it. So it's not just the fear of the virus, it's actually the fear of the human that's experiencing the virus, and then all of a sudden all their other fears are coming to the surface. And it makes very good sense, because people like you and I, Chris, I mean, we have our own human fears, but we're not bubbling over with it. So we're not using this as a catalyst to run scared like deer in the headlights with mask on while we're driving cars. So I encourage people who are so fueled by this fear to examine their own inner being and say, wonder, is this the only fear I have? Or if like I have a whole basket full of fears and they're all just cropping up at the same time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And we're not telling people not to be prudent, not to be cautious, that you can't wear a mask. There are a lot of times I put on a mask going in a business for two reasons. One, if they require it, because I do feel like the owner of a business has a right to require it. It's their business. Some people don't agree with me on that. Number two, I don't want to freak out the other patrons, because there are people there that are walking in fear. And if they see me walking like that, they will look at me and be terrified, because I may be putting them in danger. So I don't mind putting on a mask. Doesn't bother me. And I'm hoping this coming flu season will be better. But, oh gosh, if my youngest is listening to me, Trent, I apologize for saying this. I used to think that she had an unhealthy fear of germs. Mm-hmm. But she jokes about it, says, well, Dad, I'm never sick. And it's true. She's never sick. So she's always been very conscious of being, careful with her hand hygiene and whatnot and avoiding germs. So what is she doing during this? She has been asking almost daily, when can I go back? When can I be with my friend? She wants to do it. So she's not walking in fear. Mm-hmm. She's just being careful. She always has been careful. There's nothing wrong with that. And she wants to go back and spend time with her friends, because she misses them, and she's doing it in a safe way. So keep being safe. Keep being prudent. Live life. Enjoy. And don't walk around terrified. But I like, Ed, what you said. Examine yourself and see, where did that come from? Is that controlling me? Because if that fear is controlling you, there might be an issue.
Might be an issue. And we both are in total agreement that common sense and reasonable steps need to be embraced. Do I get within 5 to 6 feet of people? I keep it about arm's length plus a little bit further than that. Do I wash my hands more than I ever have in my life for 20 seconds? I never used to do 20 seconds. It was an 8-second hand wash. Guess what? I'm doing 20 seconds now. Does my staff wear masks and sanitize constantly at Nutrition World? Heck yeah, because that's common sense. Walking around in the gym on a treadmill with a mask on while you're trying to do exercise is not common sense to me.
But imagine this. Think about this cold and flu season this fall. If we're practicing these kind of techniques and wearing our masks whenever we want to in public, and we're getting paper menus, which I know you've noticed that at the restaurants, mm-hmm. paper instead of these dirty, nasty, you know, plastic ones we used to get. Just think of all the health we're going to have, the decreased exposure. That's not a bad thing. Now, if it really hurts the medical business, I may be taking that back. But, you know, overall, that's great for my patients because they will be healthier and have less colds and flu. Wonderful. Makes me happy.
There is no doubt it's going to be a positive for the other infections down the road. There's no doubt. So everything has a mixture of good and not so good. And this one's going to have some good outcomes. Well, believe it or not, brother, it's time to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Dr. Resnick about immune systems. He's a great functional medicine physician now living in Portland, Oregon. We've got all that plus more to come. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones, and stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet and keep us tuned in on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones, back with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green, and we have a guest today that's a good friend of mine. He's been on the show at least once, maybe twice, Dr. Scott Resnick. Welcome to Vital Health Radio, Dr. Resnick.
Well, thank you for the welcome. It's so nice to be speaking with you again. And I think specifically, I've been on the show two times previously. So this will be the third.
Well,
a trifecta.
If you're number three, then there's only one other person who's ever been on here three times that I recall. So after 2 years and 3 months, you are a award winner, I guess.
And now, Ed, why don't you tell him what he's won?
We will send you a Dasani water from Vital Health Radio.
I appreciate that. I will consume it joyfully. So.
Well, I have to say that Dr. Resnick was a practicing physician here in Chattanooga for quite some years as a functional medicine physician. And what does that mean? That means a person who kind of has focused on looking for the why of poor health and really digs deep into the biochemistry of the patient in order to figure out how do we truly heal these people. And it's a very complex situation to be in because it takes a lot of detective work. And he's now moved to Portland, Oregon, and we've missed him terribly, but I connect with him on regular occasions, and I'm just thrilled to have you back, Dr. Resnick, because we're going to talk about your take on, you know, more of the holistic viewpoint, perhaps, I guess if I could say that, on how do we build a strong immune system, not only for the pandemic that we're going through, but for life, because, you know, we always go through periods where we're, you know, people are more sick than they want to be. And I don't think it always has to be that way. So tell me about your story.
You.
Yes.
Well, I would just say that, you know, one of the things that I've done as a functional medicine doctor, and again, this is interesting because Dr. Green and I effectively went to the same medical school. We didn't go to the same school, of course, but, you know, with the same style of training. And what we're taught to do is to think in an allopathic fashion. And, you know, it's like I'd been an allopathic doctor for probably 15 years or something like that. And I thought I'd look it up in the dictionary to see actually what it meant. And allopathic medicine is the use of a medication, a potion, a cream, a tincture, a pill to treat a symptom. So the whole premise of conventional medical school training, and I mean to the year 2020, is identify a symptom, identify a diagnosis, and then pick a drug that's actually intended to address that. And I think what happens is as we start thinking differently in terms of like a functional medicine approach, I think what I've really taught myself to do, which is actually easy, is to start thinking about like the clinical situations by asking different questions. So, you know, I think it's really a timely time to be talking about the, you know, the immune system and the coronavirus. So I'll even put a question forth to Dr. Green. So, you know, if I were to ask you, like, what were we taught that the immune system does? I mean, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but...
Oh, no, I mean, it depends. Like, where do you want to start? We don't want to get too complex here. But we're right. simply taught that the immune system responds, in simplistic terms, responds to an illness that comes upon you and then fights that illness, in simplistic terms.
Right. That's very simplistic. So I'm gonna give you another perspective, which I think is easily as simplistic, which is when I look at the way that the immune system works, and this really dovetails in nicely, Ed, into what you started this conversation with, is that I see the immune system as something that protects our borders. All right. So if you think about it, we are a walking, talking petri dish. I mean, we are the kind of thing that parasites and bacteria and viruses just love to feast on. But so many of these things are invisible to our eyes. So what's happened is that our body has developed ways to actually protect our borders and our interfaces with the environment. So as I start to deconstruct in my thinking, like, what is it that's driving a person's immune system? We have to think about what the different borders are. And as far as I can tell, there are basically three different borders that our body is, our immune system is charged to defend. And when you kind of think about it this way, is it any wonder that they say that, what is it at? Something like 60 or 70% of our immune system cells are within 1 centimeter of the lining of the gut. Have you heard that statistic before?
Absolutely.
So there's one of our biggest borders that we need to protect is our interface between the part that makes us human and really the entire outside world. Because if you think about it, the gut is a single tube that goes all the way through our body, going all the way through our mouth and all the way through our large intestine and out the backside. So we need to be able to protect ourselves against anything that we can put into our mouths. And anyone, we've all had children, so we know how easy it is for things to actually make it into our mouths. And we actually eat something like 2,000 pounds of food a year. So that's a lot of potential, engagements that our immune system is potentially asked to, prepare itself for. The other borders that we have are the skin, and that's a pretty impermeable border. I mean, our skin layer is something like 7 layers thick. It's covered with waxes and oils and hair, and it's kind of hard to break that barrier. But again, that's another interface that we have with the outside world. So let's just say you're walking, you go up to Suck Creek and you're playing by the pool and then you get into some poison ivy. Well, what happens is our immune system is called to task to fight that exposure because of some of the oils that are present in the poison ivy actually made it through the waxy layer of our skin and, start to attack our inner sanctuary, I guess, is what I would call it. And really the last interface that we have with the outside world is through our lungs. The lungs are a slightly different structure because you've got a number of different anatomical components of our biology that are there to sort of run interference about things making it deep into our lungs. We start with our nose and our tonsils. We've got a structure in our nose that are referred to as turbinates. And what these do is they create a turbulent flow of the air as we breathe in through our nose. So if there is a virus or bacteria that's airborne, it gets kind of spun into the mucus that lines our nasal cavities. And then as we go kind of farther down into the branchings of our lungs, we've got a specialized cell that contain what are known as cilia. And cilia are little delicate little hairs that are continually propelling mucus and substances up and out. So when I think of the way that the immune system is asked to work, I mean, it's really even simplifies. I mean, I love it, Dr. Green, what you said. You really simplified thing. It's there to help protect our body. But if you take it even one step more simple, it's what we're doing is we're protecting ourselves against different barriers that we have established that really separate us from the outside world.
And people forget over 30 feet of bowel and the skin. People forget that as an organ. It's the largest one the body has.
Right, and if I saw a lecture by a doctor by the name of Alessio Pisano, who I'm sure, Ed, that you're familiar with, he's the head of gastroenterology at Harvard, and he actually had a slide that showed that if you take all of the crypts and valleys and the rugae and the villi and the microvilli and spread them all flat, it turns out that the area of the gut is equivalent to something like a doubles tennis court in terms of how much area that our immune system is asked to protect. But a virus, like a coronavirus, is something like 10 or 20 billionths of a meter in diameter. So it's a pretty remarkable feat that our immune system is able to protect us from all these, unseen potential predators.
It really is remarkable, isn't it? Because we are a petri dish, as you said. And so what is the best way to build these defenses and optimize them?
Well, I think that so when you start looking at it in terms of different barriers that we're trying to protect, the first thing is there anything that we're doing to any of these barriers that are putting them at risk? I mean, the thing that comes right out at me is smoking cigarettes, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, that's inhaling toxins into the lungs. It's known that tobacco actually impedes the effect of these cilia that I alluded to earlier, and that's why so many smokers wake up in the morning with the smoker's cough, is because the little delicate fine little hairs that are supposed to lift all those toxins and you know, potentially injurious substances up and out get paralyzed overnight. So clearly, I mean, we know that smoking is incredibly bad for the body and for the immune system. When you start thinking about what are some of the things that can interface across our skin, it's like, you know, what are we putting on our skin? I mean, what kind of a nail polish or toxins are we voluntarily, you know, applying to our body?
How about suntan products?
Yeah, like Chris said, yeah, suntan product. And I got to put a plug in for my daughter. You know her very well, Dr. Resnick, because you helped her on several occasions with her trying to get pregnant and during her pregnancy. And you were such a valuable asset to comfort her. And, you know, you and Chris are two of the people that I just so admire, because you not only have skill and training, but you have kindness, and you have that old-fashioned ability to soothe people. And so much of poor health is cooked into this stinking fear thing, and it's hard to be healthy when you're swallowed up by fear, and both of you do so well with that. But my daughter Katie has a Facebook post called Earth Conscious Mama. It is a private post, but it's easy to sign up, and she talks about it, has some of the best articles I've ever seen on how to live a toxic-free life, and she's rating these products, the suntan lotions and the skincare and the makeup and the shampoo. So Earth Conscious Mama, on people who are listening, please go to the Facebook and sign up.
Yeah, it's a fantastic site, and I'm just kind of dovetailing in there before we get back to Dr. Resnick. I'll say he probably has seen Ed in response to that comment about the fear. I would say virtually all of my patients have seen right through that, the culture of fear, and they're asking me about it. So, you know, just one by one, like Mother Teresa said, we're changing it one person at a time, and we're trying to instill a little hope and a lack of fear in these people. I'm sure Dr. Resnick is doing the same thing.
Absolutely. Right. And I also want to comment on that as well. I think another thing that we try to instill in people is a sense of autonomy and control. So what's interesting is that we're sort of moving away from sort of the patriarchal dogmatic position who says, you must do this. And I think the doctors who are most capable in being able to really engage in conversations are the ones who are saying, look, we're a team. We're in this together. It's not like my job is to say, you know, my way or the highway. It's to say, what can I do to educate you about what are some steps that you can take? Because all of these, I mean, we can take little steps starting today to start to get our immune system better. I mean, because let's just follow through with that, you know, what I was describing as the three different barriers. You know, we got the lungs, we got the skin, and then we got the gut. I mean, there are so many things that we can do to begin to heal our gut and to maintain an optimized balance of the good bacteria and the right type of short-chain fatty acids and all these other components that we know not only make us feel better, but they actually help our immune system and the way that our immunity works. And probably one of the simplest things you can do is just, you know, just make a pledge, you know, put up your hand, you know, put your hand across your heart and say, I pledge that I'm not going to be eating fast or processed food. That's such a huge, really actionable and such an important step in terms of minimizing what your immune system is asked to have to address.
Absolutely. And I love that personal commitment to make at least one step in the right direction. I want to tell listeners that you have an amazing already started a whole combination of YouTube videos to help people learn. And I say this on my personal podcast called The Holistic Navigator. I said on every other one, I said I separate the world into two different classes of people: learners and non-learners. And the people who are non-learners are going to have a tough time with this health issue as they age. And I want people to be learners. If they're listening to the show, they probably are learners or they wouldn't be listening. Tell people about your YouTube videos, because you have many topics and you're going to be expanding those with the next few months for sure.
Well, I'm doing that on a weekly basis, and I'm trying to keep them engaging, entertaining, educational, hopefully visually pleasing, and of course, I appreciate people's feedback to let me know if I'm succeeding with that. And just go to YouTube and look up Scott Resnick, MD. It's Scott with two T's. Resnick is R-E-S-N-I-C-K. And what I'm doing is I'm of the belief that we are entering a really interesting time in medicine where so much of the testing that we need to understand what's going on in our biology is accessible to us. I mean, I can go online and test my hormones, test my cortisol, test my blood count, my magnesium, my zinc, all that stuff without a doctor's prescription. And I think so many people are really looking for someone to almost guide them and to say, what are the best decisions that I can make as I want to go forward in making myself better? And so that's really the whole premise of the YouTube channel is by bit, I'll be covering different systems of the body. And it's my belief that as we start to align these different systems, and when you break them down and simplify them, it's actually pretty easy to do, that we can start to improve our immune system. We can, you know, start to decrease our chance of getting cancers. We can, reverse our hypertension, reverse our diabetes. All that stuff is within our ability. I'm just trying to provide an educational, entertaining format where I can help people to be a guide.
That's perfect. I love your statement that align the system, because if you think about NASA, if you shoot a rocket off and it's not aligning with right trajectory, it's going to go right into a really bad place. Well, the same is with our health, and we need people like you. We need people like Dr. Green, people who can guide people in the right direction. And you know what? We've already spent all our time with you, Dr. Resnick. We're going to have you back again, but I encourage everyone to go to the YouTube videos, learn, and subscribe, because you're going to have weekly videos to educate people. So thank you, Dr. Resnick, for joining Vital Health Radio today. And it is already time to take another break. When we come back, we're going to be discussing about some gym stuff and how it's being processed at Gold's Gym about making sure it's safe and in a reasonable manner. We've got that plus more to come. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones, and stay with us.
We're all about healthy living and enjoying life. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World here in Chattanooga, back with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green. And we're going to talk to a lady, Allison from Gold's Gym. Welcome to Vital Health Radio, Allison.
Thank you.
I want to say that I have worked out at Gold's Gym from, I guess, the moment they actually opened here in Chattanooga under a different name, and then they changed names. But I've been involved for, I know, a decade or more. And I will, there was some very frustrating times for about 5 weeks with no ability for me to work out. And I know Dr. Green's also very heavily committed to a regular exercise program. He did far better than Ed Jones did, let me tell you.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
No, you did, because here's what I did. As I have starting working out at 14 years old, I'm almost 63. I've never taken more than 1 week off twice in those 45, 50 years of working out. But when the Gold's Gym closed, I actually did literally nothing for 5 weeks. And let me tell you what happened to me. I started craving sweets, which I never do. I actually started gaining body fat, which I never do. I started losing muscle mass, which I never do. And I started getting more depressed, which I rarely do. And it was all connected to the lack of exercise. And I want to encourage people, this is not an option, it is a necessity. It's like drinking water. The body needs to move, and we rust out far before we wear out. And there's a lot of research showing that, sitting is the next smoking. And so activity is so important. And I know that Gold's did not have a choice, like many businesses. They were ordered to shut down. But I was never more happy than the day that I got word from the trainer at Disc Gold's on Lee Highway Joy that said, we're going to be opening tomorrow. And it's not fully. The showers aren't there, but I am still never complaining. I'm blessed to have that gym open. So here's the deal. I want you, Allison, to explain to people who are conservative and they want to, of course, if they hear Dr. Green and I, we're all about common sense measures. I mean, we don't just ignore the fact that we need to do the right thing. So what is Goals doing to ensure the safety of people?
Yes, well, we're so excited to have our members back, and we're so excited to help them beat that quarantine 15 and begin to get all the benefits of exercise that you talked about. A lot of people are really struggling with some of the same things, and we're excited to be able to provide a safe place for them to come back to. And Ed, it really started from the moment we shut down. We took this very seriously, and we began to clean and disinfect our facilities from top to bottom, really making sure that we were able to provide that safe place. We did things like spacing out and marking off equipment so that when members return, they could assure that they were able to maintain that social distancing that's so important. Several of our locations were required to wear masks. However, in Chattanooga, they were not, although we did encourage them. And you'll see all of our team members wearing staffs. Wearing masks. You'll see an increased cleaning presence in the gym. We've implemented additional hand sanitizing stations throughout the facilities, and we've asked members to be diligent about wiping down their own equipment, all in an effort to make sure that we're keeping our members, our staff, and the community safe when they return.
I'm curious, just as a doc and someone who goes to the gym, how often do you clean your own equipment, the dumbbells, barbells, everything?
So the cleaning process is ongoing, and it's from the moment we open until after we close.
Just never stops.
There's always a porter present. Never stops. There's a porter present. They're continuing to go around and clean. You know, we obviously can't count on everyone to do that for us, although we hope that there's kind of a renewed sense of importance in doing that. It's just an additional measure that we ask our members to take. But the fact that we're going around and cleaning and disinfecting constantly.
And I've seen my fellow gym rats doing a lot better, but some things are hard to clean. I found out like an 8-foot-high pull-up bar is a bit difficult. You have to get up there, hang by one hand while you clean it. So it's kind of hard.
It's a great chance to build those biceps, right? Absolutely. And so those things are obviously things that we're aware of as well, and we're making sure that those things get the attention that they need to be safe and clean.
Well, I have to say from a personal experience, I am impressed with the fact that a lot of businesses go overboard and they do too many things sometimes, and I think some people do too little. And I think Goals has found a fairly sweet spot in the middle. They do absolutely follow the rules to the nth degree. I mean, the gentleman every morning, you know, it's getting monotonous now to ask me the same three
right?
questions every single morning, and now I'm just shaking my head instead of even verbalizing. You know, no, I have not been around somebody. No, I don't have a fever. No, I'm not, whatever the questions are. Now, we'll have to say, just from a funny kind of story, the very first day you open, or second day, I was in there, and I really know gym etiquette very well. I've been in a gym, as I said, 45 or 50 years. I know when to put weights back up. I know there are people who, you know, load machines up with 4 45-pound plates and they walk away. And, of course, people who, you know, women and other people who can't move all those or don't want to. It's not really fair to these people because it's not really nice to leave weights on machines. But when I do small amounts of weights, like maybe 10-pound plates on something, I may walk away. So what I did was the very second day, I have a handlebar mustache, Allison. You don't know me. But so I was doing some upright shrugs, and I put a 10-pound on each side of the 45-pound bar. And because it was such lightweight, I walked away. Well, I was getting ready to leave, and the gentleman at the front counter said, sir, we've had a text from someone here in the gym and said that you did not remove your weights. And they said on the text, it was the man with the big fancy mustache. So I was called out very quickly.
Well, at least they said fancy.
Yeah, that's right.
It gave you away.
I do have tattoos also, so it would have been easy on either account. But I didn't react to that. I'm getting older, and I don't really get, where I'm arguing with the things. It was really actually a good thing, so I'm actually putting it into a positive slant because I would like to have called out people for the past 20 years who left all that weight on there. So Golds is doing a phenomenal, very good job. I will have to say I'm getting a little frustrated about waiting for the showers to reopen, and I'm hoping that's going to happen soon. But I'm still blessed to have the gym open.
Yes, I had a great call yesterday with a gentleman named Alex, and he is on Governor Lee's task force for the reopening plan. And he called me just to find out how some of the things that they're considering for phase two would affect local businesses, which I thought was great that they're reaching out to see the impact on local businesses with the decisions that they're making. And he assured me that phase two, which he says we should be hearing about very soon, will allow the reopen of our locker rooms. So that's very exciting. And you can look for that to come. And of course, when the locker rooms are able to be opened, then we'll also be able to allow the use of our swimming pools, which has been really a popular request by our members. So we're excited about phase two and what that will mean for people that like to use a pool and need to store their belongings in the lockers. And we hope to hear that in the next couple of days.
Oh, that's exciting. I know Dr. Green works out Summit Golds and also at another gym. Is your other gym, how do they operate these days?
And so the pool is closed, sauna, all those type of areas are closed. Showers are still working. Locker rooms are open. Most of those are rented by us anyway. They have the same sort of, etiquette. We don't get screened for fever when we go in, but there is a sign asking you to reveal that if you have to. If you're sick, if you've been exposed, stop there, stop at the desk. So they want you to do that. They do give out towels. I don't know if Golds is doing this. So no. That's another thing. Instead of going and having the towels and the cleaner all throughout the gym like they've had, each individual member coming in is given a fresh towel, and then you turn it in at the end. And everybody so far is really cleaning. I'm cleaning much better than I used to. And like we were saying in an earlier segment, what if we continue these cleaner practices throughout the years? We're going to have less infections. I think about the other things we don't talk about a lot, but there are a lot of contact type diseases, viral diseases that we see, say, in wrestlers, for instance. Mm-hmm. And if people don't clean the mats properly and the equipment. So you can see the same things at gyms. We just really don't see it much. We see it in the office, but you don't see it in the gym. So we're going to see a marked downturn in the infections we're catching at the gym. So I'm seeing great etiquette by all the people there.
Yeah, we really have a renewed passion, I guess, for cleanliness. This has made us all take a kind of a closer look at our health and our habits, and we want to make sure that we continue that commitment to cleanliness moving forward. And we hope that, just like you said, when flu season rolls around or other viruses may be present, that some of these efforts that we're taking to maintain that level of cleanliness and the habits that people are getting in with being a little more socially distant and wiping down their own equipment and being a little more careful about washing their hands, things like that, that we'll see some overall changes in our health.
And one thing I haven't seen any gym that I go to say, I've always used full finger gloves. That's just something I do. I do a lot of pull-ups, some stuff outside, push-ups, whatnot. And I wash those after I go to the gym. So I don't know if more people are doing that or not, but it's not a bad idea. And then you take your gloves off, there's less contamination that way, and you can wash the gloves. Just another thought of how to protect yourself.
Sure. And the question's been a lot about the gloves, with the fact that if somebody's not trained like you are as a doctor to know how to use gloves properly and to know how to remove gloves and dispose of them properly, then we're just creating another issue. So if you're touching something and you're wearing the gloves and you touch something else and you touch your face, the gloves aren't protecting the person that's coming after you. So as a medical professional, you understand how to use gloves and how to properly remove and dispose of them so you're not touching everything that you've just avoided touching. So that's not something that we have actually required, although we did make them available to any members who wish to use them.
Nice.
Well, I do appreciate the fact that you don't require face masks, because I know that another gym right up the street does. And many people have left that gym to come to Golds because of that exact reason. So I think it's very good business that you'd made the right decision. I will have to ask the question that, there was a moment of panic when I read some headlines that some of the Golds were closing. What was the deal on that?
So So that's a corporate thing. So Gold's corporate, which we are not. We own the 15 locations throughout the state of Tennessee and are no way part of that filing. The filing was made in an effort to strengthen the corporate brand and help them to emerge stronger amidst this COVID pandemic. So we were not a part of that filing, and we are absolutely not going anywhere. Gold's corporate as a brand isn't going anywhere. They have shut down several locations to make as a business decision, and they will come out of this filing a stronger brand moving forward.
That's awesome. So, I mean, again, most people listening are in Chattanooga. So the Cleveland location, is that open? Or do
you
know?
The Cleveland location. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Okay. I think I heard today at the gym that it was reopening. So that was a good thing. And I know you have here, you know, two or three in Chattanooga, but I'm just thrilled to death, Allison, that, you know, everybody's able to access this. And in fact, I did a TV show yesterday on how to lose quarantine weight, because many people have gained it. And we talked about time-restricted eating. We talked about replacing a meal with a protein drink and so, you know, getting back to the gym. So how do people access more information if they're listening and want to look into Gold's Gym? What would they end up needing to do, please?
If someone's listening and they've gained the quarantine 15 and then they're looking to make a difference in their health, to make a change, whether it's in their overall health or to lose weight, they can certainly contact one of our three locations in the Chattanooga area directly. We're more than happy to help to put together a plan for them to get started on their own fitness journey. If they'd like to join, they can also go online to goldsgymtn.com and sign up for a membership there as well.
Super, Allison. Thank you so much for joining us at Vital Health Radio. And we are already ready to take a break. When we come back, we'll be having Dr. Green's Spiritual Moment. We've got that plus more to come. For Dr. Christopher Green, I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World. And stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet and keep us tuned in each Sunday morning right here on 98.1 The Lake. We're a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World here in Chattanooga, back with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green, and we always look forward to Dr. Green's Spiritual Moment.
Thank you, Ed. The Spiritual Moment is brought to you by Silverdale Baptist Church. If you would like to learn more about Silverdale, just visit their website, silverdalebc.com, silverdalebc.com, or just download their free app for Android or iPhone. Philip Yancey said that human beings do not readily admit desperation. When they do, the kingdom of heaven draws near. We all experience times of suffering and pain, whether emotional or spiritual or physical. The psalmist wrote of his feelings in Psalms chapter 6, verses 2 through 4. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Times of suffering can cause even the strongest among us to reach a point where we wrestle with spiritual questions or even question our beliefs outright. I know people who have experienced profound losses and then say things to me like that a good God would never let these bad things happen, or perhaps they even question the existence of God. Well, some have become so hardened and angry that they have decided simply to avoid Him altogether. Sometimes during these times of crisis in my own life, I also have searched for meaning and peace and have cried out to God in many, many ways. Sometimes it has been a struggle to know that God loves me and cares more deeply for me than I can ever understand. When I am stumbling through a valley in life, it is difficult to breathe or to even see light or hear laughter. In the first chapter of Habakkuk, the prophet cried out to God as well, and he said, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen?" He agonizes at what he sees in the world, noting that strife and conflict abounds, and that the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Wow. Okay, these are dark thoughts from a man of God. If you notice, however, these are questions many ask today, as we see the effects of illness, economic downturns, and violence in our world. Well, God answered some of Habakkuk's questions, and he left some unanswered. We also will likely not have answers to all of these questions, but I can assure you of one thing. These trials in life will change you. You will never be the same after you emerge on the other side. You may not be in control of your circumstances, but you can control your response to those circumstances. Let us choose to be people who grow into a richer faith and richer lives. If we understood everything, we wouldn't need faith. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith and trust emerge from love, not from some business relationship with God or some obligation in which we have no choice. For my part, I will choose to love God. I will choose to follow Him because I love Him. Take time today to stop. Just stop. Be still. Quiet your heart. Quiet your soul. Focus on the God who loves you so much that He chose to bind Himself to you and to allow His own Son to suffer for you so that you might have real life and so that He could enjoy a deep and permanent relationship with you. As the psalmist quoted God in Psalm chapter 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." And that is your spiritual moment for the day. Ed?
Thank you, my friend, and I love the way that you put things together. And sometimes, you know, in life, all we can do is walk with faith. And I love the fact that you repeated something that I have followed for many years of my life, which is the value of stillness and quieting your soul. Because sometimes we're so caught up in the noise of life, we can't actually hear the God and the wisdom that can come through all the noise.
And for you and me, that's probably the most important part of our day every morning.
Absolutely. And I have to carve out pieces of the day to do this. It doesn't happen accidentally. It actually has to be done modestly on a planned level. If not, the day encompasses and swallows us with duties and checklists. And
you can do it anytime you want.
Anytime. I mean, you really can take 3 minutes and follow the breath or follow the prayer or follow whatever gets you back centered. And we are so sick sometimes because we have lost the alignment with the whole oneness, the God, the Spirit, and we have to work on ourselves because we're not always in a place that others are going to help us. So thank you for all of that. Have you, real quickly, because I know we only have a couple minutes, where have you eaten anywhere new this week?
Well, you know, like I told you, and I can't remember if I mentioned it here, got a bike, been biking around, and have gotten to go to several places. I was very pleased with the Boathouse recently, rode out there and had some of their grilled oysters. Fantastic, well done, people. And they're, you know, back open. They have a good process for seating people. Tony's, tried this wonderful pasta, not good on my keto diet, but it was a peppered fettuccine Alfredo. Never had that, a red Alfredo sauce. Last Maple Street Biscuit Company. Love that place. Most everything in there is horrible for you, but I got some kind of bowl that had eggs and sausage and peppers and a red marinara sauce. It was almost like an Italian egg breakfast dish. Strangest thing I've ever had, but Maple Street, well done. It was actually fairly healthy. No biscuit with that one.
Wow.
So, how about you?
Well, I actually ate at a place that you can't eat at, my sister's house today. And what I did was...
What does your sister have against me?
I have longed for something that is not really unhealthy, but not also super healthy. But I loved growing up and during my first 20, 30, 40 years, is Sloppy Joe's.
Oh, yes.
And so I had my sister take some bison, which you've had from Nutrition World, the ground bison, and make me some original Sloppy Joes. And I'm actually posting it on Instagram. It will be on there when you hear this. And she made me broccoli, avocado on the side, and two humongous Sloppy Joes. Unbelievable. It was fantastic. I will have to kind of say that she also made a blueberry cobbler, which I'm not ever eating sweets, but it was phenomenal.
What kind of meat in the Sloppy Joe?
The bison round that you had that time when we didn't have any regular meat. And it is delicious.
It's a very rich flavor, yeah.
It is. Now, it's very dry, so you have to actually, the directions say to add a little bit of oil to it. And I think they said olive oil, but I'm not sure. But it was to die for. The Manwich Sloppy Joe original. And when I looked at the ingredients today, because, you know, I'm not going to live in a cave. I want some things, even though I say I don't eat for taste, there's some things I do want for taste. And I've been longing for a Sloppy Joe. So my sweet sister made that for me.
Nice.
And it was a special, special day. And I will do that again. And the only thing bad about it, the ingredients, is it had a little bit too many sugars. It had 8 sugars for a serving. That's not too bad. It really isn't. Everything else was completely natural out of that can. And I don't know about you, but I ate Sloppy Joe's when I was, fifth grade.
Oh, yeah. Great memories.
Yeah, great memories. Guess what? That does it for this week's edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial 98.1 The Lake. Production from the Whitfield Media Group. Thank you for listening. We'll be back here next week for a radio show that's all about your healthy living. For Dr. Christopher Green from CHI Memorial, I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World. Have a healthy and safe and calm day.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake with Ed Jones and Dr. Christopher Green. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, is a production of Whitfield Media Group. Join us next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and have a great weekend.